Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all. It's a beautiful morning, and it's good to see you and to welcome you here to the church. We also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. It is good to have you as part of our church family. A special welcome to the residents and carers at Rosely Court Care Home, who always join us on a Sunday morning. And I look forward to being with you later today and to switching on your Christmas tree lights. That's a great honour I've been asked to do, so thank you for that. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Let us worship God. Hymn 472, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 122. I rejoiced when they said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we enter Advent, a season of waiting and preparation, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the one who came and who will come again. Lord God, our world is troubled and there is much darkness within it. Yet in this holy season we are reminded of the one who is the light and whose light pierces the darkness. So let us, your people, walk in the light of the Lord. Gracious God, you are the hope of all the earth. We praise you for your enduring faithfulness and for the promise of a Messiah, filling us with his power, his peace, his love, and his joy. Almighty God, as in this season we take time to give thanks and reflect, we admit our tendency to get entangled in the anxieties and distractions of daily life. And we confess that we allow doubt and fear to overshadow our trust in your promises. Forgive us our impatience. our cynicism and moments of despair. From our fears and sins, release us and help us to actively wait and watch for your coming. Lord God, for the abundant life you offer us, the hope you give us, and the psalmist's vision of that time when all people will rejoice to go to your house, we thank you, and together, as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. First of all, I would like to offer a word of thanks to Callum Wynne for organising a wonderful, wonderful ceilidh in our own church hall last night. It really was a great evening. There was an excellent band, and they read the audience very well because everyone was up on their feet dancing, even me. And it takes a lot to get me up on my feet dancing. But it really was a great night, and it was so good to see people of all ages from Park Church and the old parish together having a good time. And already people are looking forward to the next one, Callum. So, we'll maybe have one in May. But it really was just a great evening and good to see everyone smiling and happy. So thank you very much indeed. Friends, there'll be a further time of fellowship following the service today here in the church. Please do wait if you can. And the prayer group will meet in the McMichael Chapel at approximately 11:40. We're looking forward to the Christmas Tree Festival next weekend. The church will be open from 10 until 2 on Saturday, and then next Sunday from the time of the service, of course, right through until 2 o'clock. Now, on Saturday, there'll be a coffee morning in the hall from 10 to 11:30, and then there'll be a soup and dessert lunch from 12 to 1:30, and there'll also be a craft stall. So we're looking forward to that, and tea, coffee and home baking will be served in the church on Sunday after the service. Baking can be left at the parish halls this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. So we're looking forward to the Christmas Tree Festival. Please do spread the word about it, encourage friends and family to come along here to the church and to the hall. Next Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion during the service. Again, all will be welcome. And then next Sunday evening, we have a service of lessons and carols, and this year it will be in Park Church, and that's at 7 o'clock. Again, all welcome. A week tomorrow evening, Monday the 8th of December at 7 o'clock, there'll be a Christmas carol concert in the North Church. Tea, coffee and mince pies will be served following the service, so that's next Monday. And it was good to be at the North Church yesterday at 6 o'clock for a prayer service. And I do commend that Christmas carol concert in the North next Monday to you. And then a fortnight today, there'll be a service of lessons and carols in Logiekirk at 3 in the afternoon. And again, all will be very welcome. There's so much happening in the coming weeks, but I think that's a great thing altogether. And something I want to tell you about is a Christingle service, which will be held here in the church on Friday, the 12th of December at 6:30. We've not had a Christingle service during my long ministry here in the old parish, so this will be a first. And though it's prepared with younger people in mind, it's very much a service for all ages. So again, if you can spread the word about that, that's Friday the 12th of December, 6:30, a Christingle service here in the church, followed by tea, coffee, juice, mince pies, crisps, you name it. It really is the season to get big, isn't it? So we're looking forward to that. And then on Sunday the 15th of December, we're having our gift service, which you always support so well. And the Salvation Army would welcome unwrapped presents for children aged 1 through to 16. That's on the 15th of December. A reminder that the Tuesday group Christmas lunch will be on Tuesday the 16th of December at 12:30. Please do speak to Dorothy Walker after the service today if you would like to go along. And Dorothy will be up here at the front during the time of fellowship after the service. I think there's just one more intimation that I have to read. It's a wee bit dry, this one, but stick with me. The General Assembly of 2025 approved a new act about communion rolls and adherence rolls. The Kirk Session is still required to keep a communion roll, but a new adherence roll also requires to be kept. Now, the adherence roll will have on it the names of people who are regular worshippers, but who are not communicant members of this congregation or any other congregation. So if you're a regular worshipper, but your name is not in the communion roll of this congregation or any other congregation, and you would like your name to be on the adherence roll, then please do speak to Leslie Asher, the session clerk. Leslie's contact details are in the parishioner, and they'll be on the intimation sheet next Sunday. If you do not wish your name to be on the adherence roll, that is perfectly in order. In other words, continue as you are. Thank you. Jake.
If I could invite the children to come forward for the all-age talk. I see a few of you are here. And I have something for you, too, so you're not going to leave empty-handed. Well, good morning to you all, and I want to wish you all a very happy new year. I know you're looking at me like I'm a bit nuts, because it's not New Year's yet, but if you were here last week, you might have heard Gary mention that last week was the last Sunday of our church year. So this actually is the beginning of a new year in the church. So along with being the start of the season of Advent, we are all experiencing a happy new year. But I thought, you know, people in the world don't really know that the church is celebrating a new year, and probably most of us here don't even really know that we're celebrating a new year unless we pay attention to it. So I thought it'd be fun if we celebrated a little bit and had a way to kind of count down to the new year. So if you've seen one of these before, it's a little party blower, you can take that. We're going to count down to the new year. And here you go. Here you go, Gary. You can have one too. All right. So we're going to do a countdown to the new year, just like, you know, I don't know how it works here. Wherever I've been, you count down at the end of the New Year's Eve to celebrate the new year. So we're going to do that here, and I'm going to count down from 5, because 10 will take a little long. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then we'll blow our party blowers and say Happy New Year, all right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year! I'm going to take that away from him before the sermon. So that makes it feel a little more festive, right? It feels kind of fun. And I always think that for some reason, when you count down, it always makes it a little more exciting, right? When there's a countdown involved. When I was growing up in America, especially, it was the age of, you know, the space shuttles launching up. So every time one of those went up in school, we would stop and do a countdown. Well, as I mentioned, in addition to it being a new year, it's also the start of a season called Advent. And Advent is the season in which we count down to something. We're not counting down to the new year. Who can tell me what we're counting down to during Christmas? That's right, we're counting down to Christmas. And there's a couple different ways that we do that during Advent. We count down to Christmas using Advent calendars. That's one of the ways. How many of you, do you guys have an Advent calendar? So we have Advent calendars at home. I think you're going to get an Advent calendar in Sunday Club today, and if you don't, I apologize. I think that's what the plan was. But there's Advent calendars with all sorts of things. You get cookies in there, biscuits, you get chocolates, you get toys. We have an Advent calendar at home that has little Marvel superhero characters. That's kind of fun. But we have a Lego one, yeah, so we have all sorts. But the idea of an Advent calendar is to help us count down and get prepared for Christmas to come. And we're not counting down till, you know, the presents or the toys or all that, but we're counting down because Jesus is coming. We're counting down to celebrate that Christ is with us. And the other way that I wanted to mention that we count down to Christmas is right over here. And if you come over here, during Advent, we use this called an Advent wreath or an Advent crown. And we light one candle each week, and each of these candles has a different meaning. There's hope, peace, joy, and love, and then the one in the middle is for Christmas. So we light one each week as a reminder of the things that Christ brings us during this season: hope, peace, joy, and love. And then we celebrate the light of Christ with that final candle on Christmas. So who would like to help start our countdown this morning by lighting this candle? All right, you guys look a little hesitant, so we'll... All right, now you got fire involved, so hold that and light one of those red candles. And if you want to blow your party blowers as a celebration that we're starting the countdown, you can. Don't be shy. All right, there we go. Wonderful. Well, all the different ways we count down this season, I want you to remember what we're really counting down for, and that's the love and the peace and the joy and the hope that we have in Christ. So thank you guys very much for coming forward. And I'm sure, yeah, if that doesn't work, you probably just need to try it again or get another one. All right. Thank you so much for coming up. And now we will sing together the hymn 284, Hope is a Candle. That's hymn 284.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, can be found on page 569 of the Pew Bible. This is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amos, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen, for the Lord's teachings comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people." The second reading is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. It can be found on page 23 in the Pew Bible. "No one knows, however, when that day and hour will come. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, the Father alone knows. The coming of the Son of Man will be like what happened in the time of Noah. In the days before the flood, people ate and drank. Men and women married up to the very day Noah went into the boat. Yet they did not realize what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes. At the time, two men will be working in a field. One will be taken away. The other will be left behind. Two women will be at a mill, grinding meal. One will be taken away. The other will be left behind. Be on your guard then, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. If the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, you can be sure he would stay awake and not let the thief break into his house. So then, you also must be always ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him."
We sing together hymn 273, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a story about a school system in a large city that had a program designed to help sick children keep up with their schoolwork while they were in a hospital. And one day, one teacher was assigned to the program when she received a routine call asking her to go visit a particular child after school. And she was new to the program, so she very diligently spoke with the child's teacher to find out what subjects they had been covering in his classwork or his class while he'd been gone. And the boy's teacher was very grateful and said to her, "Well, we're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now, and it would be very helpful if you could help him understand nouns and adverbs so he doesn't fall too far behind while he's in the hospital." So that afternoon, the teacher went to see this hospitalized child, and unfortunately, no one had told her and prepared her because the child had been badly burned and he was in great pain. So as she entered this child's room, she was a bit taken aback and shocked by the appearance of this poor child. And working hard to hide her discomfort, the teacher stammered awkwardly, saying, "You know, I've been sent by your school to teach you nouns and adverbs." And she managed to make through the lesson without much response from the child. And at the end, she felt a bit embarrassed and ashamed because she really felt that she hadn't accomplished much for this poor child. So she went home, and the next day she received another phone call from the same hospital to visit another child. And she went to the hospital, and when she walked in the door, she was immediately stopped by a nurse who asked her, "You know, what on earth did you do to that boy?" The teacher, of course, feeling ashamed, she thought she had done something wrong, so she began to apologize and explain her embarrassment. But the nurse stopped her, saying, No, you don't seem to understand. We have been worried sick about that child. It seemed like he had just given up. But ever since your visit yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's been fighting back, responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." Well, 2 weeks later, as his remarkable recovery continued, the boy explained to a nurse that he had, in fact, given up until that teacher arrived. And everything changed for him when he came to a simple realization. And he explained it, saying, "You know, I thought I was going to die, but they wouldn't send a teacher to teach nouns and adverbs to a boy who was going to die." So hope is a powerful thing. In fact, I think it could be argued that hope is a life-changing thing, that hope is in some cases even a life-saving thing. So today, on this first Sunday of Advent, as we light that first candle, we celebrate or we recognize or remember or just dwell on that theme of hope. You know, some weeks ago, Gary and I were discussing a variety of ideas or themes to follow during this season of Advent, and we landed on this idea of following those traditional themes throughout these 4 weeks of hope, peace, joy, and love, those that the candles represent, as I explained to the kids. And we decided on those things because I don't know about you, but I and we feel that these are themes that the world needs reminded of right now, which I suppose in many ways is more true, or is true more often than it is not. We need reminded of hope and joy and peace and love. But in our discussion, we talked about changing the scripture readings from the normal assigned readings for Advent. Well, to put it fairly bluntly, the normal assigned readings for Advent aren't always all that hopeful or joyful or loving. But and you know, we read those readings and they're a bit dire at times. In our homes and out in the world, the Christmas lights are lit, the carols are already playing in the department stores, the shelves at Tesco are lined with all those delicious delicacies that are just set to fatten us up for Hogmanay. But while the world has moved on to joy and the celebration of Christmas Day, we come to church this Sunday on the first Sunday of Advent, and we hear a word from Jesus that's a bit more subdued or dreary or even dreek, as I've learned to say. In our gospel reading, we don't hear Jesus sing Silent Night or Joy to the World or Here Comes Santa Claus, but instead He's talking about floods sweeping everyone away. He's talking about people being taken away from their lives in the middle of their daily routines. He's talking about thieves breaking into our homes and stealing everything. So this is a difficult reading. It's a challenging reading. And it feels especially disjointed when we read it this time of year, on this Sunday, when our worship is centered on hope and expectation. But even though that reading is difficult, I decided to keep it because I believe that's when hope really matters. Because hope isn't something we need when our lives are easy. But hope, I would say, is really only hope when things are difficult or when things are hard. You know, hope is easy when we're healthy and celebrating with our friends or sitting in our classrooms looking forward to Christmas morning. But hope is a lot harder when our friends and family are gone or when we're burned and alone in a hospital bed. The author, G.K. Chesterton, put it this way, saying that hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, he says, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. So hope when things are hopeless. You know, if we begin to think of hope in that way, I think it helps us understand a little more clearly what Jesus is pointing at when he says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord will come, or hold yourselves ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time when you least expect him." In this, you know, surface level, we look at this reading, and it is a difficult reading, but in this difficult reading from Matthew, it feels like, you know, Jesus is warning us of something terrible, but in truth, Jesus is giving us a message of hope. In reality, he's using these drastic images to impress upon us the importance of being ready for something wonderful, reminding us of the importance of holding on to hope. If you know a thief is coming, he says, you would keep awake and keep your house from being broken into. So hold on to that same sense of urgency and expectation as you wait for me, he says. If the people of Noah's day had known that a flood was coming, they would have helped him build the boat and they would have climbed on that boat when it started to rain. So have that same sense of preparation and anticipation as you wait for me. If you're learning nouns and adverbs, you know that your days are far from over. So hold on to that same sense of certain hope as you wait for Christ. You know, in the gospel, just before where our reading began, Jesus tells his followers to learn a lesson from a fig tree. He says, as soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things, you know that the Son of Man is near, at the very gates. So just as you see the signs of spring, even in the depths of winter, you know that with certainty that spring is coming, that summer is coming. So Jesus says, just like you know those things for certain, know also that I am coming, that I am near. So in using these rather drastic examples in our gospel reading, Jesus is not trying to make us afraid or fearful of his coming, but instead he is imploring us, urging us to be watchful, and to be watchful not for something terrible, but for something wonderful, to be watchful for the presence of Christ in our midst, to be watchful for Emmanuel, God with us, once and for all. You know, the classic commentator and theologian, a good Scotsman, William Barclay, says it this way. He says, to get this picture right, we must remember that the watching of the Christian for the coming of Christ is not that of terror-stricken fear and shivering apprehension, but it is the watching of eager expectation for the coming of glory and joy. So the watching of eager expectation for the coming of glory and joy. So this is the hope that we are called to. This is the hope that we are blessed to have through faith in Christ Jesus. And if we begin to wonder, you know, what does that coming of glory and joy look like. Thankfully, in our other reading this morning from Isaiah, we got a glimpse of what that might look like. Isaiah writes of that day saying, "The Lord shall judge between the nations as arbiter among many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and beat their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore." It is a beautiful vision, and this is the promise that we are preparing for. This is the hope that we are drawn to in Christ. The promise that one day Christ will come again, and on that day God will make things right. The sure hope that when Christ comes, God will abolish all of those things that divide us, that separate us. He will abolish them once and for all. Swords beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, tanks smashed into tractors, assault rifles turned into solar panels. It's a vision of weapons of war being changed into tools that feed the nations. Weapons of destruction being turned into tools that build and sustain life, and life for all people. Now, of course, when we hear a vision like this, it can sound hopeful. It can sound, you know, very hopeful to us. But if we're honest, it can also probably sound just a bit delusional. Because if we look at the world around us, we don't seem really to be any closer to this hopeful vision coming to its fulfillment than we were, you know, 3,000 years ago when Isaiah wrote these words in the first place. But again, I would say, if this vision were easy, if the hope were easy, then it wouldn't really be hope. Isaiah assures us that despite what the news headlines tell us, and despite what we might see around us or experience in our lives, he assures us that this is what God is doing and that this is what God will do. And one minister I encountered explained how in the world, the sound of Advent is accompanied by jingle bells ringing. But in Scripture, he says the sound of Advent is the sound of the ringing of a hammer on an anvil as swords are beaten into plowshares. Like, what a wonderful vision for us this Advent season, of swords being beaten into plowshares. So in calling us to keep awake and be ready, Jesus is freeing us and imploring us to live into that kind of hope, to faithfully work for a world where all people live in peace and all people know the hope and the love and the joy that we have in Christ. Now, I would be remiss not to mention that today happens to be November 30th, which is the feast day of Saint Andrew, the patron saint, of course, of this fine country that has welcomed us. And the reason for the saltire, the flag that represents Scotland with its white cross on the blue background. Now, of course, you all likely know the legend of Saint Andrew and how this became the flag, likely better than I do, but in case, you know, for my own benefit, I'll recap this legend. The legend of how the High King Angus MacFergus, which I had to look up because I thought it was a made-up name. That sounds way too Scottish. But the High King Angus MacFergus led his Pictish and Scottish forces into battle, and when he prayed for divine help, he witnessed a white cross up against the blue sky. And understanding that to be a sign from Saint Andrew, Angus had hope and ultimately won the battle and made St. Andrew the patron saint of Scotland. Now, I know that's not exactly a moment of beating swords into plowshares, but I would say that is a moment of hope nonetheless. But the story of St. Andrew himself is one, I think, where we do see the consistent message of hope in Christ. And we don't have many stories in Scripture about St. Andrew, but the stories we do have give us a picture of a person who held on to hope even when things seemed unlikely or when things seemed difficult. The Gospels tell us that along with Peter, Andrew was one of the first disciples to follow Jesus. And the Gospel of John goes so far as to tell us that it was Andrew himself who was the first disciple. And it was him, in fact, that brought his brother Peter to Jesus with that invitation to come and see. So with great hope, Andrew left what he was doing to follow this itinerant preacher from Nazareth, hoping and trusting that he might be the Messiah. And later, when faced with a hungry crowd of over 5,000 people, It was Andrew who brought a small boy to Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So again, in the face of incredible odds, incredible difficulties, Andrew brings a tiny, almost laughable, but a hopeful offering to Jesus. And as a result of that hope, Jesus feeds the masses. So on this day of St. Andrew and on this first day of Advent, may we follow his example and be a people of hope. And not just hope when things are easy, but may we be a people of hope when things are difficult, when things are hard. In a world of hunger, may we also bring our meager offerings to Christ. In a world of war, may we also beat swords into plowshares. In a world of sickness, may we go out and teach nouns and adverbs. In a world where things can so often feel so disjointed and divided, I encourage you during this season of Advent and always, you know, to be a people who hold on to hope for others, and may we be a people who also hold on to hope for ourselves. Because the message of Christ during this season is clear, and that message is that Christ is near, that God is with us now and always. So thanks be to God. Amen. And now we sing the hymn 479, View the Present Through the Promise. That's hymn 479.
Let us pray. God of life and light, we approach you with hearts full of gratitude, and having lit the candle of hope, we renew our trust in your promises. Christ has come, and he will come again. Lord God, finding our hope in you, we thank you for the abiding certainty that in every circumstance you are with us. And we praise you that even in moments of difficulty and despair, your Spirit whispers within us of a world renewed and a future where justice and peace will prevail. Gracious God, with confidence we offer our prayers of intercession to you. Shine your light into the lives of those living in the shadows, for refugees fleeing conflict, the sick enduring pain, those suffering mental anguish, and all who mourn. Let the hope of this season be a healing balm, and may our lives be instruments of your love and care. God of life and light, in places where division and hopelessness are rampant, may harmony and hope be born again. Guide the leaders of the nations with wisdom and integrity, and bless your church, that following the example of St. Andrew, who readily obeyed the calling of Jesus and followed him without delay, we may also be quick to respond and to follow, and to help people to prepare their hearts, so that when you come again, we will all be found ready. Lord God, in whose sight the past and present are one, we give thanks for the faithful departed, and for those whom we have known and loved, and who now dwell in your nearer presence, for the good things you did through them, and for the ways their lives touched and enriched our lives. We praise you, and we look to that day when heaven's high promise is fulfilled, and we will be together again. This prayer we humbly offer in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I remind you of the invitation to remain behind after the service for a cup of tea or coffee and some biscuits. It would be good to see you. But before that, our closing hymn, another hymn for this Advent Sunday, hymn 277, Hark the Glad Sound.
Thank you.
May God, who is the ground of all hope, fill you with joy and peace through believing, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.